Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It's our continuing coverage of Championship Week, our 13th, day 13 of Championship Week Video Notebook. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've got David Griggs and David Dorman up here. Mike Cha joining us, and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org as well. And we've got, we had a hell of a day today. It was an exciting day, lots of great games to go over. But we're going to start.
The sun's about to come up. It's very late.
It's not that late. There's still games going on.
Well, it's not that late. Yeah, there's still games going on.
This, as we know, is the Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook. And first of all, if anybody's worried, we have confirmed David Griggs is still locked in the puppet bunker with his rat and his can of spaghetti. Oh, there's a big old spider on the wall there too, Griggs. Wow.
You can't see it, but there's petri dishes in here. They've just, I don't know, they've started to store them in here. Said that they needed a safe bunker to keep them in.
Oh man, and then that they has still to do with, didn't that, let me with that spider or something there too, yeah. And the rat, and it's looks like lots of fun, Griggs.
It's not want to trade.
No thanks. I guess we got to start with the fact that the actual selection committee, as well as our Hoops HD selection committee, both are meeting today.
Yeah,
which one do I start with, Griggs, ours or there, or the real one?
It doesn't. We could start with the real one. I know Rocco is a selection committee guessing expert. He's trying to closely follow what the real. So this is just what
this
they
is their minutes.
Yep. Yeah, this is kind of what they did today. And you may recall yesterday didn't get a lot done yesterday. A lot of distractions. So just going through the day to day here. It's like the committee met for breakfast. David Warlock and Dan Gavitt, NCAA staffers, said in a meeting that they must start getting work done. They can't cancel any more meetings or have any delay any more votes. They have to get it done. Breakfast ends at 10:30, and the committee decides to take a break until lunch. At 10:31, 1 minute after that, Dave Gavitt absolutely blew a gasket, started yelling all kinds. I don't even want to repeat what he was saying, and tells them that they need to go into the room and get to work. They basically put them in the meeting room, chat, and just closed all the doors. They were in there until 11:47. Something very strange happened here. Just before lunch, the staffer goes in to check on him, and they discover that the committee had voted Manchester United into the field. This obviously caused a lot of distress. Dan Gavitt was incensed. He started headbutting the wall for five straight minutes. And then, like, staffers break protocol. They're not supposed to do this. You know, we follow the protocol when we do our committee. The staffers, Chad, motion Manchester United to be removed from the field. This is something only the committees could do, but they did make the motion. The motion failed 9-3. So Manchester United was still in there. Then they had their 2.5 hours for lunch. And You know, it was supposed to start at 12. They started at 12:03, and the committee said, well, since we got in here late, we need an extra half hour. They got that. So 2:32, the committee takes a break. The committee votes to take another break until the ice cream social later that afternoon. Dan Gavitt at this point was so distraught, he started to cry. They are told they need to get back to work and get Manchester United removed. About 15 minutes later, the staff breaks protocol again. The motion fails again. The ice cream social chat at 3:30 was canceled, and they said they would not reinstate it. And it was pointed out that Manchester United was not even on the Hoops HD survival board. And this is when things get interesting. Vice Chairman and Sunbelt Commissioner Keith Gill said he wanted to hear directly from you that Manchester United was not eligible. They tried calling you. You were with us. It was 3:35 in the afternoon.
No, 3:35. I was actually at a court hearing that this afternoon.
Okay.
So, I do have a day job, and I was busy there.
And you know, another motion was made. It failed. At the risk of having the ice cream social canceled, two people actually changed their votes. It was now 7-5, but the motion still wasn't carrying. And then for the next 2.5 hours, they called you every 10. What did you think was going on at this point? Your phone
was. I was busy in court, and I had to eat dinner. I had a lot of other things going on. It wasn't until like 9:30 that I realized they were trying to call me.
Yeah. And, you know, they break for dinner. Again, 2.5 hours for dinner. Dan Gavitt and Dave Wardlock were reported as being physically ill. At 9:22, they finally got a hold of you, Chad. What happened here?
I told them that the Manchester United is not on the survival board. They're not in green. They're not in blue. They're not in any color. So
Yeah.
they can't be on. I don't even know who what they are. I've never even heard of Manchester United.
Yeah, you informed them that they weren't a college basketball team, and several committee members were shocked to learn this.
So I think they finally got them off, right?
Yeah, they got him off. At 9:25, they got him off, and then at 9:30, they wrapped things up with their evening ice cream social. So I got to be honest here, I mean, it was an active day, a busy day, lots of voting, lots of activity, but it doesn't seem like they're making a whole lot of progress.
Well, hopefully they'll do a little better tomorrow.
Yeah.
We should check in on what our Hoops HD committee did, because we actually got a
Yeah.
lot done here.
Yeah.
And
I
check
mean,
it out.
this
This is
is,
our
yeah.
actual board here. As you can see, we have voted in several additional teams, including Utah State, Arkansas, West Virginia, UC San Diego. We voted in, as well as Oklahoma. We did not vote Boise State in. We did not vote Xavier. We did not vote San Diego State or Vanderbilt or Indiana in yet. But there are still up to about. At least there's at least two and up to about, I believe, five more teams that could make the field. So still room to get some of those teams in. We also did the initial seeding of the first eight seed lines. You can see on there on the right side from Auburn all the way down to Mississippi State. So
Yeah,
there's your one
and
seeds, Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida. So
for now,
real selection committee, if you're looking for something to go off of, you can check this out.
yeah,
Take a screenshot of this and maybe this will help you.
yeah,
Let's get to
and
what happened on the court though.
yeah, lots of action today.
Yeah, let's start in the ACC. This conference was absolutely insane tonight. Rocco, insane comebacks in two times, probably the most insane of that first game between Duke and Carolina.
Yeah, I think with about 15 minutes left, Duke led by 24, and multiple droughts. They had a drought in the last 3:20, basically until those final free throws, that allowed Carolina to continue to, peck away at the lead, and eventually it got down to it. North Carolina had two free throws to take the lead, missed the first, second one. Guy gets a lane violation. Feel awful for the kid. I know he's probably
He
having a rough night tonight.
stepped backwards. He went the wrong way.
Yeah, I think he just lost his
Was
balance or
bizarre.
something. Yeah. It was so blatant that the ref had to call it. I bet the ref felt bad that he had to call it, but there's just no hiding from that. And Duke got to the line, got back up by three. Carolina had one last crack, didn't work out. And now they're left 1-12 in quad one. And although they've played better in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's just no signature win to go off of, unless you just take that UCLA win from a long time ago, and that's their only win against the field.
Yeah, I tried
Right.
to get the
That's not a
profile up.
that's not such a bad profile to have. I mean, at Chattanooga, at Furman,
Let's
at Wofford,
try.
that's
Let's
pretty.
try
Oh
again.
my God. Oh boy.
We got
Okay.
it. Yeah, there's a huge void there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of space up here in the profile.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
but
Quite a visual.
the other game, Dorman, Louisville and Clemson. Also, it looked like Louisville had it, and here came Clemson charging back, and they almost came back and stole this game.
Yes, they did. Louisville looked like they were in control in the second half. And like you said, Clemson hit a couple threes. Louisville tried to give it away. Louisville missed a free throw. Clemson's down three with the ball in about 8 seconds. They're running down the court. They take a three. It looked like Brad Brunell wanted a foul. And I don't like fouls on this certain situation, but I agreed with Brunell. I thought he was shooting in the shooting motion. I thought he was fouled. I thought the Tigers should have been going to the line to shoot three to see if they could tie it up. They didn't give him the foul. The board went to Louisville and the clock ran out. Louisville escapes.
Yep. And Mike, what do you think about this tomorrow? Duke Louisville for the ACC title.
Yeah, it's chalk. I mean, those are Duke is head and shoulders above everybody else, and I mean Louisville Clemson. I mean, if it was Clemson, it would be a great matchup too. Cooper Flagg will not play tomorrow, and that's the right decision. I mean, the ultimate goal is to win the NCAA tournament, not the ACC tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if Louisville won against a shorthanded Duke team, but this should be another good matchup. If it's anywhere near as good as tonight's matchups, I'll be very pleased.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't know if this is going to have much in terms of the NCAA
No, Duke is a lock
committee.
for the one.
Even a Louisville win doesn't move the needle that much because it's a shorthanded Duke team, but it could move the middle. It could be a seed line difference for Louisville
Yeah,
if
I
anything.
think it would move it a little bit, but I'm with you on that.
Griggs, it was semifinal day in the Big 12, and Houston, it was 15-0 over BYU, and the game was over about 3 minutes in.
I was so excited for this game because of the contrasting styles and just looking forward to like what happens when the unstoppable force meets the immovable object. And the answer is the immovable object stops it.
Dorman, you're our Arizona guy. There you go. You're in the championship game with after Caleb Love had another great game against Texas, and they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, Caleb. Well, Caleb Love played really well. Vassar down low was really strong, tough. They needed him today. He's been a really, really wonderful surprise for Arizona. There were some injuries up front, and Vassar has stepped in and really played a load of the minutes, really playing 30, 35 minutes a game. And he's been tough, and he's getting boards, and he's playing tough deep. He has been a pleasant surprise for Arizona, and they outlasted Texas Tech tonight, and they get Houston tomorrow in the title game. They lost to Houston in one game. They played once this year in Tucson. Arizona had the lead for about 30 of the 40 minutes. Houston took over down the stretch. Arizona couldn't get off shots on the sweltering Cougar D. We'll see what goes on tomorrow night.
Yeah, they this this go ahead, Griggs.
I just had an opinion on Houston. I'm starting to think they're a fairly decent defensive team.
Rocco, let's go to the Big East Conference. And how about
Oh,
the
Chad, I was going to
Johnny?
say I knew the Cougars would win that matchup. Zing.
Rocco, how about the Johnnies and Creighton both winning, and the Johnnies really coming close to locking into a two seed here.
Yeah, it's a big day for that part of it. I think them playing in the if this tournament was anywhere else, maybe St. John's is kind of saving it up for next week, but they have no choice. This is the Garden. This is Rick Pitino. These atmospheres have been phenomenal. You can feel it through the broadcast. And for any of you that have been to the Garden, it's just like makes you go goosebumps in the pregame introductions. And Rick Pitino and in this program has to capitalize on this season. And they started off down 15, Chad. And then they just steamrolled them after they got rolling, end up winning this thing by 16, a 31-point swing since the time they're down 15. And so now they get to play for the championship. Now that they're this far, they might as well just cut down the nets. And I think with the two seed scenario, Kentucky will get to them in a little bit, but they fall tonight. And then anybody else kind of in the mix, Texas Tech also fell, as you just said. So I think that really, as long as the committee were taking today's results into consideration for the two, perhaps they had St. John's there already as well. That should do it. And that will get them in the South with Auburn. Probably not as exciting as being in the East, but they will be on that two line, which should get them a little bit of an easier first round game.
Yep, they do the game against Creighton tomorrow. I think it'll be a pretty good game, but I do think the Johnnies win this one, just with the
Yeah.
way the atmosphere has been.
A nice win for
Yeah, make some
Creighton today.
history.
Dorman, let me start with you in the Big Ten, the top here half here, where Michigan State looked really good against Oregon, and I think Wisconsin looked even better against UCLA.
Yeah, Wisconsin broke a record for most threes hit in a tournament, Big Ten tournament game. I believe it was 18. They were absolutely on fire. And the 16-point differential on our board there, they were up 28 with about 3 minutes to go. They were absolutely killing UCLA. Mick Cronin was besides himself.
As he
UCLA
often
had,
is.
as you true, everything for Wisconsin was working today. Their defense was really solid. They were closing out on shooters. UCLA didn't have any offensive boards. Their rebounding, Wisconsin was great. Wisconsin played one. Wisconsin's played two really nice games today. They were on fire, and they just blew out the Bruins in the first game of the day. Another score that really wasn't as close as that. Michigan State had double digits on Oregon most of the second half. They got out to a big lead in the first half. Michigan State, Richardson, really, really playing well. I love this kid. It's Jason Richardson's son, for those of you that don't know, and he's really come into his own in the last about month. and he is part of this Sparty party that is just rolling down the river. Michigan State looks like they're unstoppable at this point, but a great matchup tomorrow in the semis in the Big Ten.
Yep. And Mike, you're our Michigan guy here. And I think you guys stopped the bleeding today with a real impressive win over Purdue and get to go up against Maryland, which was impressive over Illinois today.
Yeah. First of all, to Maryland, they've been coming on like gangbusters as of late. They've been shooting up the rankings here. And today they dismantled an Illinois team that had been playing pretty well down the stretch, too. So that speaks volumes about Maryland to play a team that had been fairly hot and took them apart. As for Michigan, yeah, they stopped the bleeding. They had a three-game losing streak, all against Tier 1 teams, but two of those three games were blowouts. So they needed to win this, at the very least, play a competitive game. But, you know, they did more than that. They played a very good Purdue team and dismantled them. And it's going to be a heck of a matchup, Maryland against Michigan. The difference for Michigan is that they finally stopped making zillions of turnovers. Like, they only had six or seven for the whole game. And it's like, it's amazing what you can do if you actually value the ball and not just give it away to the other team.
This had to be refreshing for a Michigan team that had a long string of games that were close. Was it 11 games by 4 points or less? Something ridiculous. Right. Then they had some not so close games go their way. So to turn that around and have the season end at Michigan State in sort of a blowout and really kind of getting their noses bloodied in that game, to come around and perform the way that they did today, I don't want to get too carried away, but it's probably the best game I've seen Michigan play in a really long time. And how about these games tomorrow, where I was really excited about all the matchups today, but none of them were really close. Everybody that won today looked really good. And so now, in some ways, I'm even more excited about these two tomorrow, just from a litmus test. How good are these games going to be? They're not important as far as the bracket or selection. All of these teams are not just in, they're in the top half of the bracket by quite a few lines, but just a good day of action tomorrow.
Yeah. Another conference is going to have a really good day of action tomorrow. Rocco, SEC quarterfinal day, Auburn, let's start at the top of there. Auburn, Ole Miss, and Tennessee.
4-1 seeds.
May have ended Texas's season. At least most of us think they have.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I can't imagine how the committee could put Texas in without a significant big-time win in this league. Their best road win was the road in Mississippi State. History tells us you got to have something in the one or two area. They had a chance to get a two-seed level win today, you know, as long as the committee still had the door open. But, I mean, I would have argued if Texas made a run all the way to the finals, it would have been it's still not as nice of a profile as Texas A&M had a couple of years back, and they still got left out. And, good run here in the tournament for the Horns, but it certainly wasn't enough. I thought they were drawn dead pretty much from the time it started. And Tennessee did what they had to do. I think in the Auburn game, Auburn did just enough. Their performances in March so far – compared to what they were before, I mean, I'm not going to say concerning, but somewhat. They definitely are a little bit more mortal, winning this one by 5 in an ugly, low-scoring game. Of course, they lost their last two regular season games to both A&M by 11 and an OT loss to their rival Alabama at home. So we'll see if there's any truth to that as time goes on. Maybe, and I think Tennessee, they looked like they're kind of hungry to go ahead and get this tournament win, playing right there in Nashville, you know, good place for them to whoever gets this, they'll be proud of a SEC tournament banner. I think all the seeds are set for the teams that are left. So it is about that pride and who wants it more from here.
Yeah, Johnny Vroom with a great game, including a huge basket late in that win over Ole Miss. But Griggs, how about the bottom half here with Florida? Not much trouble with Missouri, and really Alabama, no trouble at all with Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama just got out to a comfortable lead, and then toward the end of the game, they just, doubled it. I mean, it was – I don't really know how else to assess it other than Alabama is absolutely on fire. They finished the regular season with the win at Auburn, and then today in their conference tournament opener – beat a Kentucky team that we think is a protected seed. They beat a protected seed by 29 points. Not something you see very often. And one of the storylines, I know Rocco's here and it guessing the bracket, all four of these teams, we essentially say, we've been saying this for a month, maybe longer, that there's six teams within reach of a number one seed, and these are four of them. And here they are in the semifinals together. And I don't, it matters because I do think it's going to matter as far as who, not just who gets a one, but who gets the one in the South. Let me just ask you this straight out, Rocco. Does the winner of this tournament get the one in the South?
No, Auburn's got it, and
Auburn's got it. Even if Alabama beats him again. Okay.
yes, because I think it's going to be so late in the process that all that stuff's done. I think it's done now. I think we have a solid four. I think it's down to, and I got some information tonight that Houston actually requested to be put in the West, so that makes things interesting.
Oh,
If
really?
that, yeah, I don't know if the
Wow.
committee has to listen to the request because
They
they.
only have to listen to number one overall. So which would,
Right.
but that
They
they could end up
could.
at, they could be number one overall if they win and Auburn does not win this tournament. There could be an argument that they're number one overall.
Who's that, Duke?
No, Houston. I don't think
Yeah.
they get there, but yeah.
No,
Yeah,
I think Houston's
every
stuck at number four,
yeah,
but
when
we'll
you
see.
that's interesting. Oh, yeah,
They
when you
could be
submit,
three for sure.
I'm sorry, Rock. When you submit your tournament credentials, and this is all 360 something teams, it asks you what regional and what region you want, and you
Right.
can't submit the document like you can, until you actually pick something. So it's interesting that they'd want to go west.
Yeah, and I think I have a feeling I know why. Obviously, I didn't get this directly from them, but if you think about it geographically, a lot of strong teams near and around that prefer to go to Indianapolis. So when you're going seed line by seed line with the assignments, Indianapolis tends to get stronger teams. The West tends to get the weakest of the four seed lines on most of the seed lines. So if Houston had a great data analytics person on staff, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, we've got fascinating dorm in these two semifinals tomorrow. Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama. There is a chance that these could be four better teams playing tomorrow in the quarter in the semifinals of the SEC than end up playing in the Final Four in this year.
You're absolutely correct. This is craziness. I'm going with Rocco. I agree. Tennessee looks hungry. Tennessee looks like they really want to win this tournament today. They came out and wanted to make a statement. I'm with Rocco on that. Tennessee really wants this. I think we see a little upset minor. I see the Vols beating Auburn, which I again don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's nothing wrong with getting home on Saturday night instead of late Sunday night, early Monday morning, trying to get out of town back on Tuesday or Monday for the tournament. So I don't think it's a big deal if you lose, but I do think Tennessee can will knock off Auburn tomorrow. The other game, Bama's looking so good lately. Not that Florida hasn't. This is so tough to call. I'll take Bama just on a hunch.
It was also quarterfinal day,
Ooh.
Mike, here in the American. Memphis got a battle from Wichita,
God.
but
Yeah.
we got
Yeah.
behind 42 points from PJ Haggerty. They were found a way, and they get to go up against Tulane tomorrow up top there.
Yeah, it's survive in advance. There's no rule that says you have to win a game by 20 points or so. But Memphis does what it needed to do, and that's to win. They won barely, but they do win and survive in advance. This is where if you're the bubble team, you gotta root hard for Memphis. Because if Memphis falls, then you're gonna have a bid stealer here. So you're a bubble team like in North Carolina, for example. You better pray hard that Memphis wins this tournament.
Yeah, and they get the Ron Hunter's Tulane team tomorrow.
Yeah.
One of our favorite coaches out there.
Love
And
Ron Hunter. Yeah.
on the bottom half of the bracket, North Texas didn't have much trouble with Tulsa. And Rocco, this stat line from UAB for Yaxel Lendenbarg: 30 points, 20 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, 4 blocks. And this is going over East Carolina. That's one of the best performances I've seen all season, honestly.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because I had ECU for three games down in Daytona Beach at the beginning of the year, and they just have a bunch of like 6'5", 6 to 6'7", positionless guys, but they don't have a true center on the Pirates, and it makes sense. Big Yaks just ate their lunch all day long and took every rebound he could. And the problem with UAB when they if and when they can get to a Memphis game again, Memphis has so much size and physicality. Yaks has had two bad games against the Tigers. So it is all about matchups. Just another quick note on that Wichita game. I had that thing circled ever since the bracket came out because Harold Beverly is probably the biggest man I've seen in person all year long. And I've seen Memphis, 6'11", 250. They're like the only team in the AAC that can match up with Memphis. Almost got it done, but Memphis avoids that tough matchup. And we'll see. I don't know if Tulane can really match up with them, but hopefully they can give them a game.
Yeah, North Texas looked, I mean, no, not too much trouble, but for the first 15 minutes of this game, they looked terrible. I think they were down by, was it 15 or something? I mean, they just looked awful. And then they just totally flipped the switch. And it was just a reminder that they only played well for 25 minutes and won easily. That's a testament to how high their ceiling is.
But if they start like that against UAB, they may not come back.
They may not come back.
Dorman, over the A-10, we had quarterfinal day with both VCU and Loyola winning on the top there. George Mason, and then the game of the day was probably the bottom one between Dayton and St. Joe's.
Absolutely correct. Dayton had every opportunity to knock St. Joe's out of this tournament, but Dayton couldn't hit their free throws and kept St. Joe's in the game. And when you keep teams in the game, it's going to end up biting you, especially in March. You got to knock your free throws down. St. Joe's wins in overtime, and the Hawk is still alive. They get George Mason, an older, experienced George Mason team tomorrow. This should be a fantastic semi. I think it's tight as can be. Really, a true battle. The A-10 is loaded tomorrow. And two great semis. I'll let someone else take the other one. But yeah, two great games.
One of the things I want to say about the end of this game, it was amusingly stupidly played. I just saw Dayton was up by four with 14 seconds to play. And from that point on in the final 14 seconds, neither team had a field goal and Dayton lost. It was remarkable, that sequence of events.
Yeah, and here we are with a couple of the VCU Loyola game, George Mason St. Joe's at Rocco. The big question in this conference is there a path for VCU to somehow sneak in should they not win this auto bid?
It's hard to see that. I think the really fascinating part about the question, Chad, is the committee is going to have to make that decision before the game. And, you know, if they want to budget a spot, if VCU loses, that's an option for them. And we looked at it kind of before we joined the show. George Mason, St. Joe's, right in that like mid-70s area of net. So a loss would be quad two pretty cleanly. I just think the only issue with VCU's profile is they didn't get that win against the above the cut line away from home. I was at one of those games. They played well against New Mexico, fell short by seven, tough place to play, missed out on a couple others. So I'm going to just lean out due to all that, but I do feel bad saying that because watching this Rams team, most nights they look beyond the tournament team. They've throttled tons of teams, but unfortunately just with the type of league they're in a good enough league. There's enough results, and it's just a tad short, I'm sad to say.
Griggs, we had a hell of a day in Conference USA with these two semifinals, starting with this Liberty game. Shout out to Caden Matheny here with 7 for 13 from three-point range, 24 points to lead a big comeback win, and then Jacksonville State barely held on against Middle Tennessee on a crazy final possession where Middle Tennessee couldn't even get a shot off.
Yeah, two really exciting games. Liberty behind for seemingly most of it. Had to go on a run in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game to pull even and then finally get the lead. A really good effort by a Kennesaw State team that I wasn't expecting much of to coming into the year. They held their own in a CUSA that had a lot of parity. We said all year long that this was going to be a great conference tournament, and it has been. Just look at from the six games we've seen so far, four of them have been incredible.
Yeah, it has been. And Mike, what do you see tomorrow? Liberty, Jacksonville State for the auto bid.
I'm going to go with Liberty. I think, you know, they had their scare today against Kennesaw State. But, you know, Jacksonville State also barely got by too. I like Liberty to win this tomorrow night.
Okay. Dorman, conference upset, the Metro Atlantic. I don't think we saw this one coming today. Wow.
We've been waiting for the upsets in this, but I didn't see this coming. The top seed, Quinnipiac, goes down to Iona. Iona was ahead the whole game, really played strong. Well-coached Iona team. I really like the Gales here, and they get an upset. Upset-minded team, Mount St. Mary's. The Mounts beat Merrimack by 2 in the nightcap in 2 really good games in Atlantic City today. It sets up a fascinating final tomorrow. I like Iona, but Mount St. Mary's has upset the apple cart the whole way, so why not one more? But a fascinating MAC tournament we have going.
Somebody here did call the Iona win, but I thought Merrimack would have no problem with the Mount, so I can't take credit for this whole final, but go ahead, Griggs.
Year after year after year, I'm tired of Quinnipiac just can't win in a conference tournament. I won't learn my lesson. Next year, they'll be in the top 2, and I'll pick them again, and they'll fail to make the championship game.
Rocco, what about this championship game? Not one that any of us had in our books.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting. You know, the Mount has really overachieved. I just want to give a shout-out to Donnie Lind, who got the job late in the cycle. There was 67 coaching changes in Division I last year. He was one of the last of the 67. Takes the job, takes the plunge, gets the staff together on the fly, and they've gradually gotten better. You know, since January 31st, they are now 10-3. And one of those losses was a home loss in overtime to this Iona team. So now, you know, payback's on the mind of the Mountaineers. Not only that, Chad, but Terrell Ard went down for the year in February. They announced that right before the Metro Atlantic tournament began. And I think it's a fascinating story. I love the way they defend. Whereas you also have a coach I have nothing but ultimate respect for in Tobin Anderson and the Iona Gales. They really struggled, but you knew he's such a great coach, and they're going to start getting it figured out. And that's what they did down the stretch. Man, I'm kind of glad they're playing for the title just because they really hit their stride at the right time. And that's what this league – nobody was really dominant in this league, so this league kind of deserved that.
Yeah, that's what I really liked. I liked the way Iona had played that last few weeks of the season. They were coming on strong, and I'm not shocked to see them here. I am shocked to see the Mount. But, Mike, in the Mid-American Conference, we had the semifinals today. Akron and Miami, Ohio, we got the top 2 seeds in.
Yeah, Akron looked really good today. That had to be an exciting game, you know, very high-scoring game. It was kind of close through the first two-thirds of the game, but down the stretch, Akron pulled away, and they showed why they're the top seed. They're the better team. And then as for the second game, that was a good game too. I mean, Kent gave Miami a good game, but eventually Miami of Ohio prevailed. And you know, chalk prevails here, Akron against Miami of Ohio. Just seems like to me that usually the top seed doesn't win at all. So maybe this time will be different. It should be a heck of a matchup here, the top two teams in this conference.
The reason the top seed never wins in the MAC is because the top seed is always Toledo, and Toledo has an awful history in this tournament. But
they're the Quinnipiac of the Metro, you know, the MAC and both MACs have a team that can't ever seem to win it. How about I want to give a shout out to Travis Steele and the job he's done at Miami, Ohio. They haven't been that good since Charlie Cole had left there. He kind of was drummed out of Xavier for falling short of expectations. But Miami, it's the best team that I could remember them having. I don't think they win tomorrow, but whether they do or they don't, that program is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, they beat them twice during the year, but Miami, Ohio, I've said it for all week now, they can score the basketball. If Miami can get enough stops on the zips, they can stay around. They can stick around in this game. Their offense is awesome. They got some incredible shooters and guys that take the ball to the basket strong. If Miami, Ohio's D is good tomorrow, they're good enough to win this game.
We could see this game up in the 90s. Tomorrow, also, both teams do have some offense.
I guess we should take the over then.
Dorman, over in the MEAC, Norfolk State got challenged again survived again, and South Carolina State had a warm-up scrimmage. I think they didn't even have an opponent.
Chalk holds again. We got 1 versus 2. We've said it all week. We think Norfolk State's talent is stronger than anyone's in the conference, but they keep letting these underdogs stick around. Eventually, it's going to come up and bite you. You need to finish games. You got to hit your free throws. You got to limit the turnovers. You got to get the ball in bounds. It's the basics of basketball. But we've seen all week at every conference, this is a difficult task when the pressure becomes, you know, when the pressure is so high with bids on the line here. So I think I know Norfolk State has the best team. They have the best talent. But if they let South Carolina State hang in the game or have a lead, look out. They could be in trouble.
The SWAC, Rocco, you called this Alabama State team, but that was actually a heck of a game, and Grambling had a shot at the buzzer that just missed. I thought it was in when he let go of it, and they were gonna have a buzzer beater win there, but they move on and they get Jackson State, who had no problem with Cookman.
You know, quite a storyline for the championship game with Mo Williams leaving Alabama State at the end of the 2022 season, Chad, and now facing his former team that he left behind for all the marbles. Now, on the flip side, Jackson State really dominated Bethune-Cookman. I knew they had one of the injuries, but still, that was a very impressive showing from the Tigers. And I'm just fascinated with the storyline here in the title, you know, around Mo Williams. I'll stick with this Alabama State team, you know, since February the 10th when they beat Southern. I thought that really changed their attitude and their confidence level. They were sitting there 5-5 at the SWAC. With the SWAC record at 5-5, and since that time, Chad, now they're 9-1, and they beat a lot. They beat Southern twice in that stretch. The confidence couldn't be higher. And this thing, by the way, is in Birmingham, so that's nice for Alabama State.
Atlanta, Montgomery,
Atlanta.
Oh, it's in Atlanta.
The SWAC's in Atlanta.
Yeah, they moved it to Atlanta
this
year.
Still closer to Montgomery than Jackson. So we'll take it. But sorry, thank you for correcting me on that. And I just think, this is going to be a really terrific game because during Alabama State's hot streak, they didn't get to play Jackson State. So we haven't seen the matchup at all. And Jackson State themselves, they've won, 8 in a row. So I think we could have a classic here.
I'm sorry. It's Alabama State that's in Montgomery. Birmingham's in Birmingham and the tournament's in Atlanta. There we go.
Griggs, there's something missing from this field, though. What is it?
Yes. Well, Missouri Valley is not in this tournament.
Who's Missouri?
Mississippi Valley. It's 3 a.m. Mississippi Valley, and they have reached out to the selection committee. Strength of schedule has got to count for something, and no one played a tougher one than them.
Please.
Shout out to MVSU MVB. Definitely follow this account if you're not. It's a ton of fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Dorman, over in the WAC, we saw Utah Valley no problem with Seattle, and just now since we started the show, Grand Canyon took care of Cal Baptist 75-66. Not quite on the screen yet, though.
Cal Baptist wouldn't go away. They were down 10 with 2 minutes, but they kept hitting threes, forcing a turnover here and there. Cal Baptist was game, but Grand Canyon, Drew's team, was too much. So now tomorrow we have the matchup everyone wanted, 1-2, Utah Valley and Grand Canyon. We've talked about Utah Valley has fallen just short in the WAC many a times in other conferences. They've been just short of going to the tournament. Will tomorrow be their breakthrough? They have the team this year. They're well-coached. They play smart. They play really good D. Seattle was no pushover today. Seattle's a good team. Don't let that 5 seed fool you. They're healthy, and Seattle was finally healthy and playing much better basketball. That's a good win for Utah Valley today. And they get the Lopes tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. They played, you know, they split their regular season. This is the tiebreaker. This is ends for all the marbles as well.
Yeah.
And Rocco just went final in the Big West, UC Irvine, with a 96-78 win over Cal Poly. Yeah.
Cal Poly led early in that game. Yeah.
And here we go. We got Irvine and San Diego, UC San Diego, who had a little trouble early with Santa Barbara also, but pulled away late. It's a game we all were hoping we would get, and we got it tomorrow.
I know. These two teams, Chad, 34 combined wins away from their own campus. It just... a tremendous amount of wins, 16 for UC San Diego, 18 for for UC Irvine now with the Cal Poly win. And again, I get that beating Cal Poly with their net and everything's not going to move any needles, but the fact that Irvine just keeps winning and winning and winning, same with UC San Diego. I'm already nervous for the loser on Sunday, no matter what. But, of course, just mathematically and us knowing the resume so well, the best path is Irvine winning a squeaker. And then, you know, we as a committee tonight, we liked UC San Diego pretty early on in the process, and we can only hope the committee would agree there. I know Irvine's pretty hungry after that 18-point home loss. That one did not sit well with them. I had a chance to spend some time with the staff on Wednesday. They were actually there scouting Cal Poly a couple nights early. So we hung out, and they looked really locked in. But, you know, it's UC San Diego. They're freaking good. And you know what else, Chad, in this tournament, if you've been watching closely, a lot of these shots are taking great bounces off the rim. And UC San Diego during their run had two threes that, like, rattled around the rim and just went in. It was almost like watching games in Maui. So if that keeps up tomorrow, that's going to favor the Tritons because they're deadly from deep.
And how about the Tritons? This is their first year eligible for the NCAA tournament, a chance to go. Not only that, shout out to their women's team. On a buzzer beater today, won the women's Big West tournament championship. So they could put both their teams in the NCAA tournament on the very first year eligible.
That's crazy.
That's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
Dorman, Mountain West, we saw Boise State and New Mexico and it was 72-69 final, but Boise kind of led this the whole way.
Yeah, Boise, this was a good game. Back and forth, back and forth. Donovan Dent, the point guard shooter from New Mexico, was great again tonight. If you haven't seen Donovan Dent play basketball, you need to check him out next week in the tournament because New Mexico will be in it. And he is super. He is fun to watch. So now we have Boise moving on to the finals. It looks like they're getting Colorado State, which is fascinating in itself because I think Utah State and New Mexico are safe. So I have both those two teams in. I have the loser of this Colorado State-Boise State game either just in or just out. It is really, really tight. It might come down to what goes on in the Big West. It might come down to what goes on in the A-10. But I don't know if there's room for the loser.
And then you got also the question of San Diego State, whether they get a spot too.
And don't forget the American Athletic Conference too, because of Memphis
falls. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to get Rocco's take on this because I know he's really good at guessing the committee. But my take is San Diego State, close but relatively inside the bubble and probably safe. New Mexico, definitely safe. Assuming it's Colorado State, which is a pretty safe assumption, the loser tomorrow is out. And if I think Colorado State needs to win tomorrow to get there, but once they're there, they can win a game in the round of 64. They haven't been at this level all year long. That's why they need to win tomorrow, but they're at this level now, and holy crap are they good.
I mean, yeah, they've been playing like this for about 6 weeks now. If you run the reports nationally, Colorado State's like a top 12 team in the country the way they're playing. Now, we don't know. It's supposed to be adjusted for all the levels of competition, but it'd be interesting to see them against another conference. But this has been a remarkable run. And Nick Clifford's, you know, as good as Donovan Dent's been for New Mexico, Nick Clifford's been the best player in the league the last 6 weeks. So, I think Boise probably didn't want to have to see Colorado State again. They ruined their senior day. Or maybe they did to try to get revenge. But I would pick Colorado State to win this game just because they outplayed Boise in Boise. And they look like a freight train right now against Utah State.
And you wonder, I think they win tomorrow and the train keeps rolling.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably get an 11 in the NCAA as an auto bid and really be dangerous from there.
Yeah.
We are going back to the America East tomorrow. Yeah, so first game in the morning, is the Maine Black Bears looking for
over 9 hours from now.
Oh, yes.
There are only two states in the entire nation that have never placed a team in the NCAA tournament. One of them is Alaska that has no D1 teams. The other one is the state of Maine. Could Griggs tomorrow be the day that Maine finally gets their team in?
Chad?
What?
I think they get it done. I know that this is a sentimental pick. I've been since October. You and I had said that Maine would be improved this year, but we thought that they would not finish last. It's been a fun team. I literally liked watching that semifinal game. They went to Vermont, a team that has been playing really well, and beat them on their floor. I think Maine goes in the brine tomorrow and wins. I maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's some sin. Maybe that's more my heart than my head. But yeah, I think they get it done.
You with him, Dorman?
I'm with them. Black
All right.
Bears.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's go to the Black Bears bandwagon here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Bears.
Rocco, we are also tipping off tomorrow in the very last conference tip in. There's four teams that have not yet played in championship week. They will start tomorrow. It is semifinal day in the in Ivy Madness. Yale, Princeton, Cornell, Dartmouth. What do you see?
Well, I just want to say, what a moment for Dartmouth. They're finally in Ivy Madness after an 8-year drought. So congrats to the Big Green. I know it's a special day. It's also going to be played at Brown, who didn't make it. So true neutrals, quote unquote. I'm sure some of the locals at Yale and all that are going to fill it up. But yeah, last time Dartmouth played Cornell, we know what happened. They beat them by almost 40, and that's and they lost to them by 12 before that. So big variety of possibilities in that, and that's I think the game to watch, mainly because when Princeton's played Yale this year, they've certainly been overmatched. Princeton just down, I think, a key front court guy this year. Didn't address that in the offseason, and they fought hard, and they've got the talented duo of Caden Pierce and Xavier Lee. But I think it's all Yale.
They lost Martini to my Rutgers team. It didn't help Rutgers either, though. So,
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I would pick, as long as Cornell's hitting shots, it should be a Cornell Yale final. But you can't rule out Dartmouth because they've already pounded this team before.
Mike, what do you think? Who wins this? Who wins this event?
I'm picking Yale. I think the fact that they're the top seeded team, and also the fact that and they're playing in Providence, which is not too far from New Haven, Connecticut. They'll have a lot of fans on their side. I'm going with Yale.
Yeah, me too. Griggs.
I'll keep it even more simply. Yale's just better than everybody else.
Yeah, Dorman.
Fair enough.
I'm real interested. Cornell Dartmouth is a fascinating situation. Well, they split the regular season. They both won at home. Cornell has a real fun offense. John Jocks is the coach, and he speeds it up and he pushes the ball. You're not used to that so much in the Ivy. You think of it as slowed down. Not at all. Watch this game tomorrow. This is exciting offense. I see Yale over Cornell in the final.
Yale over Cornell. I think we all kind of are leaning towards that Yale should win this event, but you got to play the games. That's it for all the games that are going to be played tomorrow. So it's time to check in our survival board up there on the website, Griggs.
Oh, yeah, the survival board.
This
Yes.
is the tool we do for the committee to help them along when they're doing stuff like going to too many ice cream socials and
Yeah, and
selecting
some.
Manchester United and that stuff.
Yeah, and what's disturbing about that is that they must not be referencing this board if they selected Manchester United. But I'm glad they got it straightened out more
There
than
were
anything.
heading into the day today, there were 114 teams left the shot to win it all. As a result of all of today's actions, except for the two games that just finished in the WAC and the Big West, we have 95 teams left.
Wow,
It'll
under
actually be
100
90.
now.
It'll be
Yeah.
93 actually as soon as we get this updated after the show's tonight. 93 teams
Yeah.
left. And you want to
Yeah.
talk about the various categories here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the automatic qualifiers. Those are the teams that are in blue, and the committee must select them. So that when they come here, they look at this board, they see if a team's in blue, like Drake is right there, they have to select Drake.
Okay, they're all caps means that they've won an automatic bid.
Yeah, they want an automatic
But
bid.
a blue team like New Mexico, what happens if they're wondering whether or not New Mexico should be in?
Well, they don't need to wonder. They don't need to think about it at all. New Mexico's in blue, so they're in.
What
We've
if
decided that for.
we've got some teams that are just a regular type, like Iona here in the Metro Atlantic? What if they
Yeah.
watched Iona today? They said, "Well, that was a great win for them."
Good win. Yeah.
Should Iona be in
Well,
as an at-large bid?
and they might think that they look pretty good today. And these are busy people. They may not have seen Iona and compared them to anybody else, and if they saw them today, they might want to select them. But we've looked at the whole season, the whole body of work, and we're like, no. As good as they were today, they still need the auto bid for you to take them.
What if Griggs, they start thinking about one of these teams that are red? For example, they're all Patriots in there. What about the Air Force Academy? What if they say, hey, listen, let's be patriotic and maybe we should give the Air Force Academy a bid? What does
And
this tell them?
oh boy, that would be well, and it I could see that it's a sentimental pick. You really appreciate that program and what they do. Unfortunately, they're awful at basketball, and we've crossed them out and let the committee know you do not want to select that team.
We were just talking about all these Mountain West teams, whether they get in or not. What about these? When they come up to the decision of here, does Boise get in or not? Does San Diego State get in or not? What does
Yeah.
this tell them that they're in, when they're in green?
Well, those are the teams that they need to be discussing. And I realize this is probably starting to become a point of irritation with you. They don't like it when we have teams in green on the board. They've expressed that to you. They don't they've said get rid of the green. Didn't they start chanting that
No
during the
more
meeting? Was
greens,
it no
yes, no
more
more
green?
greens.
Well, we got to have some green. I mean, we can't make up. We can't make all of the decisions ourselves. We're here to help. We're here to assist. But we're not here to do it for them.
So those are the teams they'll have to make the big decisions on. But
Yeah.
let's run to what have we got? Oh, our top 15 trophies. We're almost done with our list here.
Oh, wow.
But quick recap. We've seen the wagon wheel, which we do
Yeah,
not get to see tomorrow on the
I get to
court.
see you tomorrow, yeah.
The Old Oak Bucket and Utah Valley, who won the Old Oak Bucket this year, is going to be playing for an NCAA tournament bid tomorrow as
Yeah.
well.
Trying to win a WAC trophy, maybe the last one ever.
But the rest of our front range, top range, back range, and conference champions, mythical conference buckets.
Yeah.
We've seen the Concordia St. Olaf Troll, the
Sweet.
Border Trophy,
Yeah.
the Wynwood Cup. Shout out to the great Steve Winwood and his
Steve
face on that
Winwood.
trophy there.
Yes, the face on the trophy.
The real silver shako, the real trophy given to the VMI Citadel winner. I don't want to know what it is. The Gout Eater Cup we
Yeah,
see.
it's given to the Santa Barbara UC Irvine winner. Big rivalry there.
The actual Southland court, which
Yeah,
was won by McNeese, so they can keep their own court.
they can
That's
keep
good
that.
news
Yeah,
for next year.
they get to take that home with them. Yeah, it's a big
They
trophy.
had
They
to
need a
fight
big
off.
gate.
They had to fight
What's
off Lamar in that title game. It was an almost ugly fight because they were fighting for the court.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean, yeah.
Lamar wanted to literally take the court home with him because it's a trophy.
Cowboys wouldn't let
The King Spud Trophy given to the Idaho State winner every
That's a
year.
real trophy too.
Yes,
What's
I haven't
sad is that
seen
you can't tell
that
what's some of these.
on the wall. We saw the Nokoiwu Cup, which is being eaten by a shark puppet relative of yours. I don't know what's going on. That's
Yeah.
been over in Colorado, Eastern Washington. And we saw the Brownmouth Cup. We don't have Brown, but we do have the Dartmouth half of that in the Ivy League tournament. And that's a heck of a cup there. And we mentioned last night that our Hoops HD mock selection committee had awarded the Stallings Award to the worst power conference team. This is the trophy that Miami actually won this year.
Yeah.
The Kevin Stallings Award.
The Stallings Award. That is that man, that is a work of art, whoever came up with that.
But we also gave an award out yesterday, in fact, to our Centenary Award winner for the worst overall team in Division One. The award went to the Citadel, and people don't think the award is real. Well,
Oh, it's
it
real.
is, and here's the trophy. The golden
Golden toilet.
toilet bowl.
Yes.
Congrats to the Citadel.
Ooh,
That is a
yes.
hell of an item to display in your team offices.
Yeah. This was our good friend Zach Singer came up with the name of the trophy, the Golden Toilet Seat. I was actually worried this was in his younger, wilder day that he was actually going to try and present it to Binghamton.
That note, let's go to final thoughts. Mike, let me start with you.
Yeah, this has been another great day. I mean, just fewer games, but fewer games doesn't, fewer games just because we're advancing later on into the later stages of the tournaments. But oh man, the games have been really good, and just as good today, if not better than yesterday's games. And tomorrow's a big day because many conferences will crown their respective champions. I think it's We've had 13. I think it's 15 or 16 tomorrow. But yes, tomorrow's going to be a big day, and it's going to start bright and early, 11 a.m. Eastern time. I'm really looking forward to it, and we're right in the middle of we're right in the middle of the mock committee, and that's exciting too. So I'm really amped.
Yep, Dorman.
Yes, down the stretch we come. So the biggest headaches I see going on for the committee right now, or slash contingency brackets. We have an issue in the A-10. If VCU does not get the auto bid, do they get a spot? The final of the A-10 is Sunday afternoon. It tips at 12. Not much time after that for other brackets. Late night, tomorrow night, Saturday night in the Big West, UCSD is taking on Irvine. You heard Rocco's thoughts on it. I'm right with them. I think it's tight for the loser, and it's going to be a long 20 hours. I feel the loser should be in either way, but it's tight. The Big West is an issue. The American, late Sunday. What if Memphis doesn't lose? If Memphis doesn't win, they lose. Memphis needs a spot. Who are they knocking out? And then we've talked about it all night and all week. The Mountain West is fascinating. Is the loser of the Colorado State Boise State Championship game tomorrow out? I have Utah State and New Mexico safely in, and then San Diego State is going to be nervous from now until Sunday night. I have them going to Dayton. Those, to me, are the biggest issues going on right now in the conference room for the selection committee.
It's kind of funny about the American. I think a lot of bracketologists that want to have life a little bit easier might be actually rooting for Tulane tomorrow, because then we just know it's an auto bid winner, and that's
Saturday.
It. And you don't have to do a contingency bracket. Rocco.
Well, I would just say to those other bracketologists out there, just go ahead and add an extra team to your list. That way you're covered for if it's stolen or not. That you feel okay about. I would just say, you know, there's a lot to look forward to tomorrow. Dorman nailed it. Obviously, the Big West is huge. The Mountain West is huge. Doesn't get bigger than those two unless Memphis loses to Tulane. Then I guess that's equal level. But I don't want to lose sight on Bryant, Maine in the morning. It's an exciting opportunity for Maine and Bryant for different reasons. Bryant, of course, making the leap up from the NEC, tasting success. Similar to what Mount St. Mary's has, taking the leap from the NEC, tasting success. Can they get all the way to the finish line? Really cool story for both programs there. And I also think an underrated championship game, maybe nationally, just because there is so many things going on and so many things to talk about, is that Jacksonville State Liberty battle for the Conference USA. Liberty had to get by Kennesaw with the skin of their teeth. The last time they played Jack State, it was a low-scoring, punch-you-in-the-mouth type of game that you know Ray Harper wants. He's a matchup zone expert, and he'll have a great game plan for his Gamecocks. But Liberty's got more talent and more athleticism. It'll be fascinating. Game's down in Huntsville, Alabama, so you'll see if JSU fans can pack that place. I can't wait for that game, and it might be in the 50s again. I'll stop there. There's a million things to look forward to. Louisville gets another crack at Duke that maybe they'll be able to take them given the circumstances. There's something for every level of college basketball tomorrow.
Yeah. By the way, those SEC semifinals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to throw those in there awesome. On top of that. You know, and that's great, how amazing Tommy would be.
All heavyweights.
Everything great, Rocco just threw in, you throw in those two games on top of that. It's just amazing.
Oh, for the record, it's 12 championship games, not 15. 12.
12 tomorrow, yes. Thank you, Mike. Greg, you want to finish off the show?
Yes. I really hope the committee gives a serious and fair look at to UC San Diego and UC Irvine. One of the ways that I know a lot of bracketologists evaluate teams, and you can be fairly accurate doing this, is quad one wins, quad two wins. And those teams don't have as much as some of the other teams on the bubble, but they also like had fewer opportunities. And one of the things that I wish the committee would look at is the sort of a percentage of opportunity assessment. UC San Diego, for instance, didn't have many, but they took advantage when they did. They had the nice win at Utah State. They did win at UC Irvine. They won a lot on the road. And while they didn't get any $100 jackpots on the road, they did collect a lot of dollars and cents along the way. And I think that that adds up when you win 16 and 18 games away from home the way that those two teams have. Indiana has more. Texas probably has more. But who's a better hitter, somebody that gets four base hits in 31 tries or somebody that gets one or two base hits in five tries. I really think that they're at a circumstantial disadvantage. It's hard for their conference does not supply them with the opportunities that the multi-leagues, bid leagues do. And when they try and put together an out-of-conference schedule, they have to play those games essentially in the first 6 weeks. And to get them at all, they have to play them in under unfavorable circumstances. And they do have to go on the road a lot. When you go on the road as much as those two did, and you win as much as they did, that should count for more than what it's counted for in the past.
All right. On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night with the final edition of the Championship Week video notebook. It'll be not the end of our podcast for the season by any means, but definitely our last video notebook. But for now, on behalf of David Griggs, David Dorman, Mike Cha, and Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.